ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಶೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಗವತ ಸೇವೆಯ ಭಗವತೀರುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನಶ್ಯತಿ. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. We are reading from the 10th canto, chapter 71, The Lord Travels to Indraprastha. We'll read texts 11 through 15. We'll do 11 responsively, and the rest we can read together. Shri Shuku Vacha Iti Udava Vacho Rajan Sarvato Badramachutam Devashirya Divridascha Krishnascha Pratya Pujayan Shri Shuku Vacha Iti Udava Vacho Rajan Sarvato Badramachutam Devashirya Duvridhascha Krishnascha Pratya Pujayan Shri Shuku Vacha Iti Udava Vacho Rajan Sarvato Badramachutam Devashirya Duvridhascha Krishnascha Pratya Pujayan. Vaishnavi?
Thank you. Krishnascha prasya purjaya.
Shriisha kumbhata. Nityubhavacha rajan. Word for word, Sri Shuku Vacha. Shukadeva Goswami said, Iti, thus stated, Uddhava Vacha, the words of Uddhava, Rajan, O King Parikshit, Sarvataha, in all ways, Bhadram, auspicious, Achutam, infallible, Devarishi, the sage of the demigods, Narada, Yadu Vridaha, the Yadu elders, Cha, and Krishna, Lord Krishna, Cha, and also Pratya Pujayan, praised it in response. Translation, Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Devarshi Narad, the Yadu elders, and Lord Krishna, all welcomed Uddhava's proposal, which was entirely auspicious and infallible. Please repeat. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Devarshi Narad, the Yadu elders, and Lord Krishna, all welcomed Uddhava's proposal, which was entirely auspicious and infallible. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that the term achutam indicates that Uddhava's proposal was fortified by logical reasoning. Furthermore, Shukadeva Goswami specifically indicates by the term Yadu Vridaha that it was the senior members, not the junior ones, who welcomed the proposal. Young princes such as Aniruddha did not like Uddhava's proposal, since they were eager to fight Jarasandha's army immediately. Text 12. Atadisha
prayanaya Bhagavan Devaki Sutta Brityan Daruka Jaitradin Anujapya Gurun Vibhu.
The Almighty Personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki, begged his superiors for permission to leave. Then he ordered his servants, headed by Daruka and Jaitra, to prepare for departure. Purport. The superiors mentioned here are personalities such as Vasudev, Lord Krishna's father. 13.
Nirgamaya varodham swan sasutanta parikshadan sankarshana manugyapya yadurajam chashatruham sutopanitam swaratam aruhagarudadvajam.
O slayer of enemies, after he had arranged for the departure of his wives, children, and baggage, and taken leave of Lord Sankarshan and King Ugrasena, Lord Krishna mounted his chariot, which had been brought by his driver. It flew a flag marked with the emblem of Garuda. Purport. Having accepted Uddhava's proposal, Lord Krishna first proceeded with his wives, family, and entourage to the royal city of Indraprastha, the capital of the Pandavas. The rest of this chapter describes Lord Krishna's journey to that city and how he was received there by his loving devotees. In Indraprastha, Lord Krishna explained to the Pandavas his plan to first kill Jarasandha and then perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, and with their full agreement, he proceeded with Bhimasena to settle accounts with the wicked king. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Lord Krishna's wives had also been invited to the Rajasuya sacrifice and were eager to go. The description of the colorful royal procession begins with the following verse. 14.
Tato rata dvipabato sadinayakai Karalaya parivrita atmasenaya Mridanga beryana kashanka gomukai Pragosha gosita kakubo nirakramat.
As the vibrations resounding from mridangas, bedis, kettle drums, conch shells, and gomukhas fill the sky in all directions, Lord Krishna set out on his journey. He was accompanied by the chief officers of his corps of chariots, elephants, infantry, and cavalry, and surrounded on all sides by his fierce personal guard. 15.
Nivradikanchana shibika virachitam sahatmaja pati manusa suvratayayu varambara bharana vilepana shraja susamritan ribir ashicharna panibi.
Lord Chitta's of faithful wives, along with their children, followed the Lord on golden palanquins carried by powerful men. The queens were adorned with fine clothing, ornaments, fragrant oils, and flower garlands, and they were surrounded on all sides by soldiers carrying swords and shields in their hands. Purport. According to Sridhar Swami, the word Vaji indicates that some of Lord Krishna's queens were transported by horse-drawn conveyances.
Om Gyanasya Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate gurim yat kripa tamaham vande shri gurum dinataniram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Nama Om Vishnu Palaya Chakta, Shumati Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Well, Hare Krishna. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that a fool remains undiscovered until he speaks. So I'm just giving you fair warning in advance. And I beg for the blessings of the Vaishnavas that despite my lack of qualification, I can say something that is useful in our pursuit of Krishna consciousness. So in the first verse that we read, so we previously have heard about the plan that Uddhava came up with. So Uddhava has suggested that the Lord should do both things, that he can, if he can go to the Rajasuya sacrifice, but at the same time, they will also kill Jarasandha. And the Yadu princes, as we read, were very dissatisfied with that plan because they, even though they had already fought so many times with Jarasandha, they wanted to continue to fight because they're kshatriyas, they're young, and that's their nature, and that's what they wanted to do. But despite the fact that that's what they wanted, they still went along with the decision that was made because the decision was agreed upon by the seniors there. And they understood their position. They were junior, and they were satisfied to go along with this plan, despite their own personal feelings. So this etiquette is something that we don't see as much now between the older and younger people, because for the most part, people tend to. They just want to follow their minds. I just want to follow my own idea, and I don't want to consult anyone. But Krishna is showing in all of these activities, Krishna is setting the example for us of how we are supposed to be if we actually want to get closer to him. So Krishna even shows us himself, for example, by just asking Uddhava for his opinion. Krishna doesn't need anyone's opinion. He's the Supreme Lord. It's not as if he doesn't know what to do, but he still, in order to glorify, we've heard previously, his devotees, he takes that position. What is the reason for this etiquette? What is the reason for doing these things? The purpose is ultimately cooperation. And this is what Srila Prabhupada wanted from us, is that we are able to cooperate with each other so that we can push on this movement. So what is it that makes it difficult for devotees or people in general to cooperate with each other? Well, and understand, okay, this is my position, let me work from what my position is, according to my position. Well, one thing is the tendency to fault find. So because of this tendency to fault find, we have it kind of prevents us from being able to see the value in the other person, and being able to being able to accept things, accept their proposals. I watch a lot of lectures on the internet. I feel like that the internet has its good parts and its very bad parts, of course. But the best part is that you can see so many lectures from so many different devotees who don't necessarily come here. And you can, you have access to so much nectar. So I saw one lecture by devotee Gaur Gopal Prabhu, and he was giving an acronym for a way for us, or for myself, to be able to work on this issue of fault finding. So the acronym is the word fault itself. It's F-A-U-L-T. And the F stands for, always remember to focus on the... The F stands for focus on the positive. So in the fourth canto, there's a conversation between Daksha and Sati, and Sati is chastising Daksha because he found fault with Lord Shiva, and actually Lord Shiva is faultless. And in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada and also Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur give us an explanation of the different types of people and how they see, according to how they see others. So the first type of person is one who sees the negative, only sees negative, and completely focuses on the negative, and they magnify it, even though sometimes there might not even be any negative, but that's what they see, and they magnify it. So an example of that would be Ramachandra Puri. Ramachandra Puri, he would regularly invite devotees to take prasadam, and then he would criticize them for eating too much. And even he criticized Lord Chaitanya. Right? He said he saw some ants, and he said, "Oh, this is not a sannyasi. He must be eating sweets. What kind of sannyasi could he be?" So he even managed to find fault with Lord Chaitanya. The next level is the type of person who sees good and bad, but focuses on the negative. They choose to focus on the negative. So there's a story about one man who is in a store, and he sees a dog, and the dog is actually shopping. And the dog is he's got his little basket, and he's putting groceries in his basket. And then he goes to the cashier, and he goes to pay for the things that he's buying. And the man is just amazed. He can't believe that he's seeing a dog in the supermarket. So he starts to follow the dog to see what happens. So the dog, he pays for the groceries, and the cashier is trying to check and see, well, let me see if this dog really knows what's going on. So he tries to give him, like $5 less in change or something. And the dog starts to bark. So he understood, give me my change. So then the dog takes the money, he takes his groceries, he gets on the bus. Oh, he waits first for a specific bus. Then he gets on the bus, and the man is still following him, and he goes all the way to his house, assuming it's his house, and he taps on the window, and then the owner comes out, and when he sees the dog, he takes a big stick, and he beats the dog black and blue. So the man is watching him. He's thinking, what are you doing? Why are you beating this dog? The dog
He just did all these wonderful things. He went to the store, he bought all your groceries, he got the right change, he got on the bus. And the man said, well, this is the fourth time this week that he forgot the key. So that's an example of someone who chooses to focus on the negative when there's so many other things to look at. So then in the middle, we have people who see both the negative and the positive, and they focus on both things. They kind of can't make up their minds. So sometimes, you know, you might see a devotee and think, well, he has this good quality, but he does that. And she has this good quality, but she does that thing. And we kind of go back and forth, not fully appreciating either thing. And then the fourth level is the level that we are meant to come to. And this is the person who sees both the good and the bad, but consciously chooses to focus on the good. So this is the level that we are trying to achieve at this point in Krishna consciousness. The highest level, though, is the one who sees who only sees the good and magnifies the good. So and obviously the example of that would be Srila Prabhupada. So this is a level that is only for Guru and Krishna, the one who only sees the good and magnifies, even if there's just a little tiny spark, they make it bigger. So the F stands for focus on the good. A stands for awareness, being aware of what happens when we choose to focus on the faults of others, especially devotees. So one thing is we're always, according to Nectar of Instruction, we're always wanting to have sadhu sangha. We want good association, nice devotee association, but that's not only physical, it's also in our mind. So if we are focusing in our minds on a devotee's negative quality, we're associating with that quality. And then before you know it, we give shelter to that quality, and we absorb it, and then we're doing the same thing. Or sometimes we're already doing it, and that devotee is just mirroring it for us. So we want to be aware of what happens when we're just focusing on that negative. So F is focus on the positive, A is awareness, U is uplift. So we want to uplift people when we're interacting with them, rather than you know, looking at what's wrong. There's another story of a husband and wife who were, every morning they would take breakfast together, and they could see out their window, they could see into the neighbor's house. So the husband would always complain about the neighbor. He could see in the bedroom. And he would say, oh my goodness, the neighbor, their sheets are so dirty all the time, every morning. I think they never wash their sheets. So, and he would continue with this regularly. And then one day they were having breakfast and he looked out the window and he said, oh, look, dear, the neighbor has finally changed his sheets. It's about time. And the wife said, well, no, actually today I washed the windows. So the problem there was not, you know, what he thought he was seeing, but actually it was his windows that was dirty, right? So sometimes we think that we see some kind of fault, but actually we're not looking with the proper eyes. So we want to be uplifting. The L stands for leave it to Krishna. And sometimes that's what we just have to do. If we need to ask ourselves, okay, maybe this devotee has this particular fault, so am I going to approach them and say something? Well, I have to ask myself, am I the right person to say something about it? Do I have the right intention? Do I want to do this just to make myself feel good, or do I really want to help this other person? Another question is this the right time? Maybe it's not the right time, and if I say something, they won't be able to hear it anyway. So maybe I should just leave it to Krishna. And Krishna will take care of things in his form of time.
And also, if I'm not able to help the situation in any way, it's best for me not to speak about it, because what is the purpose then of going on with it? So L is leave it to Krishna, and T is to tolerate. So sometimes we just have to tolerate. You might think that there's something about someone that is difficult for us to accept or we can't understand, and we just have to tolerate it and just try to appreciate that person. And it's also important to remember that the same way I might be tolerating someone else's perceived fault, they're also tolerating me. So I should be grateful for that. So T is to tolerate. And then in the last few verses, there's a description of the procession and what it looked like when Krishna and his family, when they were on their way to Indraprastha. So it describes, you know, you see that everyone is dressed all beautifully, and you have these beautiful women, you know, all dressed nicely and riding in the horse-drawn carriages. And there's everyone is colorfully dressed, and there's the flags and the festoons and the mridanga drums, all different types of drums and the horns. So then this gave me a picture in my mind, and it's not just a few people, because his wives are going. So how many wives is that? That's 16,108 wives and their children and the soldiers. And so it's a full procession. So it kind of gave me a picture. And I was thinking, so what is the thing that we do that's kind of similar to that, where Krishna is in the center and he's surrounded by all these people that love him, and it's just a beautiful procession? What do we do that's like that? Our Ratha Yatra, which we have one coming up soon. And I was thinking that what an impression it makes when there are so many devotees that participate, because people like to see when there's a lot of people who are interested in something, because people are actually simple. So if they see that there's a lot of people who are doing something and they're trying to follow something, then the tendency is they want to also take interest. Just like you see on now businesses, so many businesses are advertising like us on Facebook, right? Everyone wants to get lots of likes on Facebook, because for them, all the likes translate into money, or likes translate into popularity. So we want to have lots of likes also, but we want that because not because we want something, but because we want to be able to give something or someone. We want to be able to share Krishna consciousness. So we want lots of people to take interest. And they do. I remember not the first time I went to Ratha Yatra, but I was bringing my niece for the first time. And we arrived a little late. And when we got there, at first we couldn't see the carts or anything. And then when we turned the corner, all of a sudden we could see, you know, Lord Jagannath in the front there and all the devotees pulling the cart. And I got that sense again of like, wow, what is this? You know, you see people looking like that when the Ratha Yatra passes by, and they're just amazed. And I felt proud. And not, you know, the bad pride in my bhajan, not that pride, but proud just that I'm just to be part of this movement, proud of Srila Prabhupada, that he gave this to us. And he brought it here, and you know, even though he had to go through so much. And proud that there's so many, that there are devotees who are still continuing. It's not like everything just, you know, went away after he physically left. So the things are still continuing. So we have reason to feel pride in our movement and to want to share that with others. And I was thinking the same also applies to Harinam. So, you know, we have Harinam here every Friday, and I will be the first to admit I don't go every Friday. I don't go as often as I should. And it's kind of like, you know, what happens to me on Friday afternoon is that I feel like, oh, I'm just so tired, it's a long week. And, you know, I have all these reasons, all these excuses, just like when, you know, getting up early in the morning, and there's what I call the tunnel of ignorance, just getting from the bed to the bathroom is that, like, little tunnel. And but once you get through, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Once you get into the bathroom, then it's okay, you know. And I feel like, oh, wow, I made it. I'm glad that I got up. So just like when I go for the Harinam, and most of it, and I feel like, oh, I don't want to. Maybe it's going to rain, or this is going to happen, that's going to happen. But then when I get to that corner, you know, across the street, and you have to stand there and wait forever for the light, and I see the devotees, and I just feel again that pride that, look, here's these devotees who come out every week, like Keshava Prabhu and Mother Sukhita and so many. And they're there all every Friday, and Mother Nitai distributing books and Mother Agatmika. And sometimes it's just a few of them, and yet there's so many of us that live here. And what an impression. They're already making an impression. And, you know, just with that and the Ratiyatra, there's already surrendered devotees who do it, and they organize it. So we don't even have to do that, right? All we have to do is just show up, just be there and make an impression. When I went to New York, to visit my sons at the Harinam, I could see, like, I watch on Mayapur TV, but you can't really see the people that are getting the holy name and the effect that it has on them. But when you're there and you sit there and you see they come up out of the subway and they hear the chanting and they see, and that week that I was there, because it was Ratiyatra, there were lots of devotees there, more than usual, and Madhava Prabhu was there also. So that was like a big attraction. So there were so many people. And the people were like, wow, you know, what is going on here? And they would stand there and just hear and hear and hear. And one woman was crying, like just crying and crying and crying. And it was just so beautiful to see the effect that the holy name has on people. Because sometimes I know I forget. So it's so important to share with others and to kind of get that feeling again and see other people having that feeling. It's very beautiful. So I just wanted to end with a quote from the seventh canto. This is 7:15:45. And here, because it kind of ties the two themes together, that of not fault finding, and also the theme of participating in Harinams and in the Ratiyatras and spreading the holy name. In 7:15:45, and it also mentions Lord Balaram, whose appearance day is coming up. So down, if we scroll down a little bit to in the purport, the paragraph beginning with the word significance. So here Narada Muni is giving some very nectarian instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And in the previous two verses, he lists some of the obstacles, some of the things, the obstacles that we face that keep us from progressing in our Krishna consciousness. And one of them is fault finding. And then in this verse, he explains that remove that or get past those things is by taking shelter of Guru and Krishna, the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. So in this paragraph here in the purport, it says, significant in this verse are the words Jnanasim Achyuta Bala. Jnanasim, the sword of knowledge, is given by Krishna. And when one serves the Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instruction, I love the way this is worded, Balaram gives one strength. Balaram is Nityananda. Rajendra Nandana Ye Shachi Suta Haila Se. Balaram Ha Ila Nitai. This Balaram comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali, one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come especially to deliver the souls of this age, Papitapi Yata Chila, Hariname Udharila. Their weapon is Sankirtan Harinam. Thus, one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, and now we're worshipping Krishna Balaram in Alachua. Well, how do you think Srila Prabhupada would feel about that? In the Mundaka Upanishad, it is said, one cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balaram. Sri Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Nitayera Karuna Habe, Raja Radha Krishna Pave. When one receives the mercy of Balaram, Nityananda, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna very easily. If one has no connection with Nitai Balaram, then even though one is a very learned scholar or jnani, or has taken birth in a very respectable family, these assets will not help him. We must therefore conquer the enemies of Krishna consciousness with a strength received from Balaram. So we'll stop there. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai. If you have any questions or corrections, please give me feedback. Don't ask me anything hard.
Mataji, can you repeat what F-A-U-L-T stands for?
Oh, F. F was focus on the positive. A is awareness, being aware of what happens when we focus on the negative. U is uplifting. We want to uplift others with what we say and what we think. L is leave it to Krishna. Sometimes we have to just let Krishna handle it, so I don't even need to talk about it. And T is tolerate. Tolerate others and being aware that others are tolerating me.
What is the strength that Balaram provides us with?
The strength that Balaram provides us with the strength to follow Krishna's instructions.
Is that a taste?
A taste. Well, if you say it is, yes, I think so. Yes. Did you want to add to that, Prabhu?
No, that's pretty good.
I just wanted to offer my appreciation for a wonderful, wonderful time.
Thank you so much. I second that. From this side of the temple. That was wonderful. So I guess your next class won't be another 15 or 17 years. Hopefully. A little sooner. We heard in a Prabhupada memory a really nice example how Prabhupada dealt with somebody finding fault. Mm-hmm. It was Mother Kashalya, who was in India preaching for a number of years and touring with Prabhupada, doing all kinds of wonderful preaching there, and she decided to go back to the States for a while. So she went back, and what she saw was really freaking her out. She said there's devotees wearing wigs, going to the airports, wearing, you know, what you'd say, karmi clothes. And it really bothered her that the movement had progressed to that different stage in America. So she went back to India, and she said, I wanted to tell Prabhupada what's going on. And she said, I felt like a tattletale, just, you know, ratting out all my god brothers and sisters, but I had to tell him. So she went in. When she got back, she went right straight to Bombay, went into Prabhupada's room and said, Srila Prabhupada, you won't believe what they're doing in America. The devotees are distributing your books wearing wigs and karmi clothes. And Prabhupada says, so, are you perfect? And she said, well, no. He says, well, they are doing the best they can. And she says, if it bothers you so much, then you just stay here with me. So Prabhupada sort of soothed it all around and made everything work nicely.
Thank you. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.